This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Worried about what ingredients are hiding in your groceries? Let us take the guesswork out. We're Thrive Market, the online grocery store with the highest quality standards in the industry. We restrict 1,000 plus ingredients, so you can trust that you'll only find the best high quality, organic, and sustainable brands, all free of the junk. With savings up to 30% off and fast carbon neutral shipping, you get top trusted groceries at your door, and you can stop worrying about what your kids get their hands on. Start shopping at thrivemarket.com/podcast for 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Weight loss. It needs to be fast and sustainable. Noom GLP-1 starts at just $149 and ships to your door in 7 days. Take it from Lauren, who lost 22 pounds on Noom.
If I come off of the GLP-1, it's not going to automatically make my weight yo-yo back.
$149 GLP-1s? Now that's Noom smart. Get started at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. Individual results may vary. Not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
Hey, Alarmy, check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
I mean, I do feel like we have to put you up on the
absolutely,
board.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Put in Clayton.
And also, let me give you some context. Yeah. Why maybe you can put this on the board too. I have a history of inverting not only words, but like syllables and sounds. It's like a speech thing where sometimes, mm-hmm. like a great example is there was a time in which I was referring to the Duke and the Duchess of Windsor instead of the Duke and the Duchess of Windsor. It comes out. I don't even know. Or one time I said I wasn't proofreading my work instead of proofreading.
Yeah.
So it's like they get in my mind and I just switch them. And like Dildo and Margo was so close that just like the dill came out instead of the mar.
Have you ever been tested in that regard for a,
you do for this a neurodivergence?
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now on to our episode. Each week we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today we're speaking with guest expert, Professor Charles Pettaway. Charles is a professor and chair of the music department at Lincoln University. He has taught advanced music theory and music history styles, among various other courses, throughout his tenure. Charles is also a concert pianist, having performed throughout the United States at venues including the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., Symphony Hall in Chicago, Carnegie Hall in New York, and the Academy of Music in Philadelphia, to name a few. Let's hear what he has to say about the lost history of Joseph Bellone, also known as the Chevalier de St. George. Hi, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, we're so happy to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, I'd like to start off by asking you a personal question. Mm-hmm. When were you first introduced to the work of Joseph Bellone or the Chevalier de St. George? And what was your impression of it?
Okay, well, I must tell you, back in the 90s, the early 90s, I was teaching in my introduction to music class, the classic period, the period of Haydn and, of course, Mozart. And I was looking for a Mozart symphony to explain to my non-musical people. But nevertheless, I came across, surprisingly, Joseph Bellone, Le Chevalier de St. George. Well, who the hell is this? So I read about him, and I was impressed. Quite frankly, when I first read his biography, I mean, I thought, this can't be true. This has to be, you know, this is a soap opera made up. And I didn't believe it. I really, it just was too good to be true. But then, you know, I did more study. And there were new articles coming out. And there was a book by Joseph Banet, who was a violinist with the New York Philharmonic. And he wrote an extensive bio on Boulanger. And so I read that. And then, of course, there was Jean Lermont, who was the conductor of Teufel Music. And she recorded a lot of his music. So I started listening to his music and doing more research on him. And then I'm coming to find out this guy really did exist. But he had a very, very unique childhood upbringing that you just wouldn't believe. I mean, this has to be in the movies.
It's yes. Charles, can you tell us about his childhood? Give us some backstory on who he was, where he was from, what his upbringing was like.
Well, okay. First of all, he was the illegitimate son of George Bologna, who was a wealthy sugar plantation owner. He had two or three different plantations. His mother was a Senegalese slave woman named Nanon. Joseph, if you can believe this, loved his son. Now, Joseph was considered at that time a mulatto, coming from a white father and then a slave mother. It was just unbelievable that, you know, people like that would have any kind of social structure or standard in France or Guadeloupe, at that matter. So Joseph or George loved his son, absolutely, which is unbelievable, adored his son and grew and, you know, taught him the ways of the plantation until he was about 7 years old. At that time, Code Noir of Louis XIV was, of course, still in implementation. It went, I think it started in 1685. And of course, George was born December 25th, 1745, December, Christmas Day, December. And so, as I said, his father wanted the best for his son. So his father realized that at 7 years old, with a mixed child, it would be very difficult for him to take his place in society, in polite society, particularly French society. But the rules in the Caribbean, as far as slaves were concerned, the treatment of slaves was quite bad. And so he realized he wanted the best for it. This is so unusual. He wants the best for his son. So he sends his son off to Paris to live with his brother, Pierre, who looked after Joseph for a few years. Now, I have to tell you this little story. George, the father, was accused of killing someone. What? Yeah, he was accused of killing someone. So he was found guilty. So he left the country and was, I think he ran to France first. And in France, he was there for a couple of years, not knowing exactly where his son was, but still hiding in France. The the 16th, Louis the 16th, decided to pardon George and made him a gentleman in his royal king's court. So as a result, he had a stature. Remember, George was a commoner until King Louis the 16th made him a guard of the gentleman's guard, you know, in the king's court. So he had stature at that time. So he bought his son. Listen to this very carefully. He brought his son from Guadeloupe. He also bought his wife, Elizabeth Maricond, his daughter, and his mistress. They all moved to Paris together.
Sounds complicated.
Indeed. Like everything is complicated. But he moved The father moved the whole family to Paris, France, and they lived royally because, again, he was no longer a commoner, but he was most interested in making sure that Joseph became a gentleman. Mm. So what did he do? He immediately enrolled him in Le Boissier's fencing school, where he learned to fence, to ride, and he was given music lessons at the same time. Let's start with the fencing. This guy was absolutely incredible, just incredible. I mean, he had the agility, he had the build of a gentleman fencer. And all French men, of course, you know, if they're going to be French, they must do fencing. And he did that. And he became quite good at it. As a matter of fact, he became so good that Le Boissier's son, who became a friend of Joseph, said, "Oh my God, you are the best fencer ever. You are just absolutely incredible." They were amazed at him. Of course, there was a lot of jealousy there too, because he was a mulatto. Well, to show you about his fencing skills and how adept he was with this acumen, there was a French master by the name of Alexander Picard. And Picard said to Boissier, "I want to fight or fence with your mulatto." That was like a nasty comment, really.
Yeah.
And so Boissier told Joseph about it. Joseph went and told his father. And his father says, "Well, you ought to do it. Look, in this family, I want you to be as excellent as possible. Whatever you do, you must do it well, because you're given all these opportunities that many of your relatives would not have. I'm giving you these opportunities because I love you and I want to see you excel." And that was something that he kept in his mind always. So whatever he did it with an incredible single-minded excellence.
Wow.
So as a result, his father says, "If you fight Alexander Picard, I shall buy you the finest cabriolet ever." That was a horse and buggy carriage. So reluctantly, Joseph went and fought him, and he won. So, you know, people who were, "This can't be. He's a non-Frenchman, and he beat our hallowed Alexander Picard. This can't be." Well, notoriety spread about his fencing capabilities. You know what? Even John Adams, third president of the United States, he actually said, John Adams, third president, "He is the most accomplished man in Europe in riding, running, shooting, fencing, racing, and music. He will hit the button, any button, on the coat of or waistcoat of the greatest masters. He will hit a crown piece right in its center. He is unbelievable." Now, this is the third president of the United States. He's the most accomplished man. So because of his acumen as a fencer, because of his acumen as a violinist, I didn't tell you this, he started studying violin in Guadeloupe before he went to France with one of the slave masters there, who was black and who taught him the basics of violin technique. So then he went to France and he studied with Antonio Lully, who was a great violin master. And then this guy by the name of Gossec, who was a composer and conductor. And Gossec was the conductor of Les Concerts des Amateurs. So Joseph's acumen as a violinist increased. He got better at it because he worked at it, fencing and violin. And he became incredible at it. So much so that Mr. Gossec, the conductor of Les Concerts des Amateurs, invited him to audition to be a violinist in the orchestra, which was quite a renowned orchestra. So he won the audition. Joseph won the audition and played violin for 2 years. Wait, But after 2 years, Gossett says, my God, you are really incredible. Would you consider conducting? This is like, it's like a soap opera. And so Joseph did it. And the rest is history. Le Comte d'Amateur became the finest orchestra in Europe. No, wait, not only that, but Lully, his former violin teacher, wrote 2 violin concertos for him. Listen to me very carefully. And then there was Carl Stamitz. Now, you know, if you look back at the classic period, Carl Stamitz was from the Mannheim German School of Instrumental Music. So he's considered one of the pioneers in the symphony. Carl Stamitz wrote 6 string quartets for Joseph. 6 string quartets. And there were other composers who also wrote music for him because he was so great at it. Now, you know, as an aside, I must tell you this, that Joseph's violin techniques were quite, quite difficult. And the reason being that he was so fast, he had such agility as a fencer that he included those techniques in his violin playing. So, you know, he would play at the upper end of the violin board, and then he would swoop all the way down. I mean, it was just incredible that he would do. Another thing about him is this. Well, let's put it like this. So he's renowned as a violinist and as a fencer, and as a good looker, as a dresser. The ladies loved him. He was invited to all of Paris. And, you know, Paris at that time, you know, to be considered part of the, well, let's say, politesse, I guess, you would be well-dressed, well-behaved, and have an education. Now, I must tell you that if we look back on France at the time, we're talking, you know, the late 1700s, well, middle 1700s, Code Noir, that was the code for Black people, Black Code, and it was created by Louis XIV. And, you know, he said that Black people had to register and they didn't have that much, those many, you know, conveniences, let's say. But they built the country. I mean, they built the country. And then in, 1765, somewhere around in there, there was another king who relaxed the stringent controls over Black people. Why? Because these Black men were encouraged to join the army for the 7 years war, which France was losing, until these Black men came. I just read this. I didn't know this. Until these Black men came in and helped them win the war. It's just like the Tuskegee Airmen situation here in this country, when you think about it. So, you know, I always tell my students, history is very cyclic. It goes around and keeps coming around. It's very cyclic.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, Alarmy, when you think about your support system, who comes to mind? How have they helped you through difficult times? When things get tough, I always know I can turn to my family and friends, and of course, my therapist. These past few months following the fires in LA, there's one meeting I've kept in the books, my weekly talk with my therapist. And I've got to be honest with you, it's been one of the most helpful hours of my week. Think about your favorite historical leaders and idols. They didn't have all the answers, but they did know when to ask questions or seek support from their community. In a society that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better when we have a support system behind us. Therapy can be that source of support in your life. It's time to stop feeling like you need to do it all and start asking for help. I've been in therapy for over 10 years, and it has helped me get through all of the literal and metaphorical fires in my life. It has given me positive coping skills when dealing with my anxiety and helped me temper my catastrophizing. I really believe that therapy isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. It's for all of us. BetterHelp is a great resource. It's fully online, which makes therapy affordable and convenient for over 5 million people worldwide. With BetterHelp, you can access a diverse network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. And if you don't feel like you're connecting with your current therapist, you can easily switch to a new one anytime at no extra cost. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/alarmist to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/alarmist.
G'day, America. It's Tony and Ryan from the Tony and Ryan podcast from Down Under.
This episode is sponsored by Boost Mobile, the newest 5G network in the country.
These guys are no longer the prepaid wireless company you might remember. They've invested billions into building their own 5G towers across America, transforming the carrier into America's fourth major network alongside the other big dogs.
Yep, they're challenging the competitors by working harder and smarter, like this amazing new network they've literally built. They have blazing fast 5G and plans for all the latest devices. Visit your nearest Boost Mobile store or find them online at boostmobile.com.
Picture this, you're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything, brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, I have to ask you, Charles, what was the relationship between aristocrats and music? What was the draw between the two?
Well, I mean, as far as music is concerned, it was considered an affluent art. It was an esoteric art, and it was, you know, for the aristocrats. Joseph became an aristocrat because of his violin expertise and, of course, his good looks. Women loved him, and men loved to be around him, too, because he was a great conversationalist. So another thing, he was also appointed to the king's guard. And so he was over the hunt of the king's guard. And so that gave him a noble title. You know, I just read that back in the 1800s, race didn't really matter in France. Of course, that's a lie, because it really did. But because Joseph was so good at what he did, he was an anachronism, to tell you the truth, because he was able to do things that no other black man was able to do. I mean, if he were just an aristocratic French gentleman, oh, he'd be considered, oh, lovely, you're a member of the group here. But he wasn't. He was an exotic member. The women loved him. And as a result, he played well, quite frankly. Marie Antoinette became an admirer of his. And he was invited to the palace to play chamber music with her, whereas he would play his sonatas and she would accompany him on the pianoforte at that time.
Wow.
I can't imagine how that sounded. But if you saw the movie Amadeus, do you remember there was a scene where Franz Joseph was the host of Mozart coming to Vienna, and Mozart coming in, and Salieri was playing, oh, if you don't mind, Your Majesty, I have a little tune that I can play as Mozart enters. And he played this little tune for Mozart to enter. And before Mozart comes in, the the emperor says to Salieri, oh, this is lovely. Can I play the piano part? And it was horrible as Mozart walks in. It was just horrible. And Salieri is going, oh, Your Majesty. Oh, you know, yeah. But it was funny. He's trying to correct him, but in a nice way. You know how it
is. Yeah. So a similar situation might have been happening with Joseph and Marie Antoinette.
Oh, well, you know, there's talk about that too, but I don't know how true that is, so I shall stay away from that. But at any rate, no, they did play, and she got the idea. You know what? You're the only one who could really direct the Paris Opera.
Tell us about
Paris Opera. Well, he was thinking, oh my God, this is incredible. I've never written an opera before. But he was so well known. He had such technical acumen that he said, well, why not? So she asked her husband. And her husband, Louis XVI, said, well, okay. So they put it out there that he would be the next director. Well, obviously, there was some blowback. And there were a few divas in the Paris Opera who simply wrote to the king and says, Your Majesty, there is no way that our sensitive sensibilities could take orders from a mulatto. Well, anyway, so
that must have been a hard blow for Joseph.
Well, it was. Now, keep that thought. It must have been a hard blow for Joseph, as you just said. Well, it was. Because quite frankly, heretofore, he had been writing instrumental music, symphonies, overtures, violin concertos, harpsichord sonatas as well. But when that happened, he was devastated.
I imagine.
Just completely. But for years, that position wasn't filled. For years, that position was not filled. He was so devastated that he stopped writing instrumental music altogether. But guess what he did? He went to and tried his hand at opera. His first opera, Ernestine, the critics said, well, the music is good, but the libretto is storyline. Is not so appealing. So it only received lukewarm reviews. But that didn't disturb him. That didn't dissuade him at all. He went and wrote another opera. But wait, so after the first opera was a disaster, he met this woman, Mademoiselle Montesson. And she just loved his music. And she says, oh, why don't you come and you can conduct your operas in my little palace, my soiree room. And in that way, your music will still be heard. So that's what he did. He conducted opera in her little palace hall for a few years. And then, well, they broke up. Something happened and they broke up. So that didn't dissuade him. He wrote another opera, The Hunt. And that was a major success. As a matter of fact, Marie Antoinette was there and she just loved it. And so he was the toast for fencing, for virtuoso violin playing, and as a composer now, wow, and a conductor. So he's doing all these things. Can you imagine the pressure? If he loved it and was passionate about it, maybe that's one thing. But even so, you know, when you're really gifted at something and the public begins to notice, you're always afraid of, oh my God, what if I make a mistake? I mean, because you're here today and going tomorrow. That's the way the world works, you know, with notoriety, let's face it. But, you know, his second opera was magnificent. And he went on to even greater renown.
Can you help us understand how famous he was during this time? I think it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this.
Well, again, you know what John Adams said. You know, these comments from other people help. He's the most famous man in history, in French history. That's what John Adams said. And so other people took up this. Like I said, from what I've read, men wanted to be around. He was always invited to social parties. The women loved him. And so he was just, like I use the word anachronism, because he was. It was unheard of for a black man, because of Code Noir and all of the other prejudices that existed. Not to say that he didn't have problems at the Boissy School. He's always had problems with his race. But because of his father and what his father instilled in him, always be as excellent as you possibly can be. That was driven into him. And as a result, you know, this is why he was able to achieve what he achieved. He was so exotic looking, let's face it. He was just out of the ordinary.
Hey, Ryan, that was a fast trip. It was like you teleported.
Yeah, just got in. I'll get all my expenses logged, I promise.
Oh, no, you're okay. SAP Concur uses advanced AI, so your expense report will practically write itself. Quite the breakthrough. It's like we've been teleported into the future.
All right.
So, just curious, would you give us written permission to convert your matter into energy patterns and reassemble you at, say, random travel destinations?
Margaret, are you building a teleporter?
No. Yes.
SAP Concur helps your business move forward faster. Learn more at concur.com.
This tax season at Boost Mobile, when you buy 6 months on our best unlimited plans, we will give you the next 6 months for free.
Plus, enter to win up to $10,000 and double your tax refund.
Your refund? Your rules! Requires upfront payment, taxes and fees extra, terms and exclusions apply. Visit boostmobile.com for full offer terms and sweeps details.
Ever wonder just how good or bad your diet really is? The Mayo Clinic Diet has just launched its new diet score, a game changer in tracking your health. Your diet score is personalized based on tracking key activities that deliver healthy habits, support weight loss, and deliver long-term sustainable success. The Mayo Clinic Diet was developed by doctors and dietitians from the world-renowned Mayo Clinic. It's real foods, no gimmicks or fad diets, just life-changing healthy nutrition. Join today for access to customizable meal plans, tracking tools, group coaching, and at-home workouts. Everything you need for long-term success. Get your free diet score now at mayoclinicdiet.com/go. No sign up needed. Now, the Mayo Clinic Diet accepts the Care Credit credit card. The Mayo Clinic Diet, healthy weight loss for life.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, do we know if Joseph and Mozart ever crossed paths? Is it possible that he had an influence on the young Mozart?
Good question. I'm hesitating because I've heard stories. The one story that I've heard was that this woman, Mademoiselle Montesson, and her husband invited Joseph to one of their residences, Grimm Residence, as it was called. And Joseph lived there for a while. And then Mozart was in Paris. His mother died. And so he had just buried his mother. So he moved to Paris. He felt that the French were completely musically illiterate. Completely. This is what Mozart said. He found them completely illiterate and not knowing in the finer things. This is Mozart talking. So anyway, Mozart was a guest at Montesson's, one of her residences, where Joseph also lived for maybe a little while. I don't think they ever met. And from what I've read, Mozart was very jealous of Joseph Bologna because, Joseph was 10 years older. And secondly, his music was regarded in France over Mozart's music because he was so young. But so he didn't really like him. So the story now is, I don't know if you know of Don Giovanni, there's the dark man in there. And a lot of musicologists are now saying that that represents Joseph. Now, I don't know how true that is. But the dark man, and that was about his father. Don Giovanni was about Mozart's father. But anyway, this dark man was in there, and historians are now saying, he's poking fun at Savaria. So I don't know how true that is, but that's the story.
Wow.
So, that's that.
So Joseph has been referred to as Black Mozart. Of course, we believe this to be a very racist take on the historical significance of this great composer. How damaging has this label been for his reputation, and how do you think we can change that narrative?
Okay, let me answer that honestly. When I first saw the tag Le Mozart Noir, that caught my interest. Well, who is this? Who is this? is. I didn't know who he was. So then I started reading. And I can see, look, branding is important. When you want something done, let's face it, branding is important. So that was the brand name. Now we realize, because we've evolved, that was sort of like an insult. And to me it is, and I'll tell you why. Because as far as I'm concerned, if I look at Sabatier's harpsichord sonatas, because the piano wasn't written, I mean, it wasn't created at that time. So his harpsichord sonatas, they're not really in the classic vein of Sturm und Drang, storm and stress. It's more Rococo. What does that mean? This is the period right after the Baroque period, the period from 1650 to 1600 to 1750. Yeah, 1600 to 1750. Period of Bach and Handel. The music there was very polyphonic. Well, the Rococo music had melody. Wait, it's like this. The music of the Rococo was written for the landed gentry, for gentlemen, for the peasantry to hum, okay, with an Alberti bass. That was the accompaniment. So it was not intrusive music. It was just very pleasant, lighthearted music. So for me, his piano, his harpsichord sonatas convey that style of lightheartedness. So I think that's more a part of the Rococo period, melodies abounding, but with chordal accompaniment. So the music, rather than polyphonic, which is two or more independent melodies played at the same time, I guess it's more homophonic, where we have a melody with a chordal accompaniment. So that's the thing about his early harpsichord music. Now, his violin music takes on, you know, more of a classical bent. I mean, because you hear the Sturm und Drang in those pieces and some of the overtures to some of his opera as well. But clearly his early works were written in the Rococo style, not to offend, but to make it simple for everybody to be able to.
It sounds like pop. Like a
well, wait a minute, that was the pop music of
yeah.
the
yeah sounds like he was Let's a huge pop it. Star.
We're talking Europe right now. We're talking Europe. So indeed, that was the music. That was the relevant music of the society.
Now the French Revolution turns Joseph's world and the Western world upside down. What is his role in the revolution? Do we know what he thought about the uprising? How did it affect his career?
Right. Well, you know, quite frankly, he'd made the rounds of all of the salons and, you know, he was well regarded. But again, he was still a mulatto. By this time, his father had died and had willed him something like 8,000 euros, I'm going to say euros, a year. And unfortunately, as a mulatto, that money never came to him. So he was penniless, you know, before the revolution took place. And, you know, he was looking for things to do, jobs. And there, you know, he still had some patrons who helped him. The Duke of Orléans, the new Duke of Orléans, who became, you know, his good friend and almost brother, said, why don't you go to England and help the abolitionists? Because with your skin and your experiences, you might be able to help the abolitionists as well. Now, you know, in France, that whole Code Noir stopped, I think, at the beginning of the French Revolution, I think in 1789. So he was very familiar with all of this. So he went to England for 2 years and the Prince of Wales wanted to meet him, and the Duke of Orléans wanted to get in good with the Prince of Wales. So let's send Joseph. And Joseph, you know, fenced and played, and the Prince of Wales was very much taken by him. And this was great. But then he also met abolitionists there, and they turned his head and made him realize the seriousness of what was going on in France and around the world. So he went back to France, and the Duke says, would you consider, you know, taking a regiment and being their, you know, general? And he says, well, I've never done it before, but, you know, I will do it. So he did it. And, you know, his it was called the St. George Legion. And they were quite known. As a matter of fact, they won a war, I think, in, well, a battle. And I think it was Lille, France. And, well, anyway, so he was doing real well. But at the same time, this French Revolution was taking part, where the proletariat no longer liked the landed gentry or the aristocracy. So this was the period where a lot of them were put to death. Mm. And because Joseph, who was associated with the aristocracy, I mean, he had been seen with all of in polite society, with the queen, with the kings, with the all of this, they all admired him. He was an enemy of the state, so he was put in jail too.
Wow.
This is after he, you know, he helped the war effort. He was there for 18 months.
Now, Charles, we're unfortunately running out of time, but I have these two questions that I really want to ask you. Mm-hmm. After his death, one, you know, slavery is abolished in the French colonies, but then it's reinstated by Napoleon. Who definitely went to great lengths, it feels, to erase Joseph from history. How do you hope that this will be rectified? And what do you hope his legacy will be for the next, you know, 200 years?
Well, yeah, in answer to your question, you know, as I said earlier, I think history is very cyclic. What goes around comes around. Napoleon reinstated in the 1800s the slavery code. He reinstated it because, you know, again, the enlightened, the thought of the Enlightenment was that Black people were inferior to Europeans. And that was the whole thing. Voltaire, you know, in some of his writings, like Candide, said that, you know, Blacks came from a different origin than, you know, Europeans. So there was always, what do they call it, polygenesis. So in other words, Black people were formed from this crop, and then white people were formed from this crop. And so there were two separate societies rather than that monogenistic feel or philosophy that we use today. So, you know, race was a social construct, and that's the belief of today. But at that time, it was what it was. And there are still people who believe that today. So I think that's one of the reasons why he had such a hard time. And again, Napoleon wanted to reinstate it. As a matter of fact, Ludwig von Beethoven, his third symphony, Eroica, was written for Napoleon Bonaparte. But when Beethoven found out that Napoleon had made him the emperor, made himself the emperor over all of Europe, Beethoven tore the dedication up and just called it "In the Name or Memory of a Hero." But Napoleon was doing all kinds of crazy things. And because of that, you know, it's just like Reconstruction after Reconstruction. And then they put Black people back in jail because they didn't have jobs, and if they were found loitering. So it's still the same thing. So this is what was reinstated. Of course, now I think May 10th is like Mid-Atlantic Passage Day in France right now, where they're forgiving, you know, all of their inhumanity to man.
Now, we always ask our guest experts this same question, Charles. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for the lost history of Joseph Boulogne, who or what would that be?
Well, you know, his skin color was the thing that stayed in his way. Skin color. He was able to get around a lot of that because of his upbringing of his white father. Now, otherwise, this would have never happened. But and then because of his expertise at the things that he did. That's why he's a rarity. I think when people, and they will realize, and they are realizing it. I mean, you look at, you know, history now, and you see all the inventions that Black people have created. You see how Washington, D.C. is laid out. And you look at, you know, all the lies that have been told on people of color and how that's beginning to change. Now, I know we're in a situation right now, political situation, and I must tell you, you know, while I'm worried, I'm not really worried because, again, you know, the truth always comes out. I am hopeful that history that has been suppressed will eventually, and I'm certain it will eventually come to the surface as it is now. You can't keep the truth hidden. You just can't.
Yeah. Charles, thank you so much for speaking with us today and helping us learn more about this incredible musician and composer that really should be much more renowned. Mm-hmm. We're going to head over to Patreon right now and continue this conversation. We thank you so much, Charles.
Oh, my pleasure.
If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned because next week we'll be discussing the Hinckley, California groundwater contamination.
The Alarmist. Powered by Acast.
Hey, Ryan, that was a fast trip. It was like you teleported.
Yeah, just got in. I'll get all my expenses logged, I promise.
Oh, no, you're okay. SAP Concur uses advanced AI, so your expense report will practically write itself. Quite the breakthrough. It's like we've been teleported into the future.
All right.
So, just curious, would you give us written permission to convert your matter into energy patterns and reassemble you at, say, random travel destinations?
Margaret, are you building a teleporter?
No. Yes.
SAP Concur helps your business move forward faster. Learn more at concur.com.
The new Boost Mobile Network is offering unlimited talk, text, and data for just $25 a month for life.
That sounds like a threat.
Then how do you think we should say it?
Unlimited talk, text, and data for just $25 a month for the rest of your life?
I don't know.
Until your ultimate demise.
What if we just say forever?
Okay.
$25 a month forever.
Get unlimited talk, text, and data for just $25 a month with Boost Mobile forever.
After 30 gigabytes, customers may experience slower speeds. Customers will pay $25 a month as long as they remain active on the Boost Unlimited plan.
Ever wonder just how good or bad your diet really is? The Mayo Clinic Diet has just launched its new diet score, a game changer in tracking your health. Your diet score is personalized based on tracking key activities that deliver healthy habits, support weight loss, and deliver long-term sustainable success. The Mayo Clinic Diet was developed by doctors and dietitians from the world-renowned Mayo Clinic. It's real foods, no gimmicks or fad diets, just life-changing healthy nutrition. Join today for access to customizable meal plans, tracking tools, group coaching, and at-home workouts. Everything you need for long-term success. Get your free diet score now at mayoclinicdiet.com/go. No sign-up needed. Now, the Mayo Clinic Diet accepts the Care Credit Card. The Mayo Clinic Diet. Healthy weight loss for life.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.